Okay, so we're moving into Tachnun. We finished Chazaras HaShatz last week. The Derech Hashem writes that Chazal connected several additions to Shmona Esrei to induce the mercy of Hashem, the Rachmim of Hashem, and to increase the brachos we receive from Him. Among those were the Ashamnu, the Yud Gimel Midos, and the Filos Apayim. Ashamnu serves to quiet the prosecuting Malachim, the prosecuting angels, who would like to prevent our tefillos from being accepted. Mentioning these Yud Gimel Midos merits that Hashem treat us exceedingly with mercy, forgive our Averos, and to find His favor even if we are lacking merit. Nefilos Apayim shows that we humble ourselves before Hashem completely. And this is very effective in quelling the Midas Adin, and it strengthens the Midas Arachamim so that Hashem's bracha will flow with abundance. And the Mishnah Berurah points out that we say one part of Tachton while lowering our heads, another while sitting, and a third while standing. And this is to show that we daven to Hashem in every manner possible. Finally, when we have used all means available to daven, and we have no other means available, we say v'anachnu lo neda manase, we have no other resource, ki alecha einenu, our eyes are turned to you. And Lavush cites the Gemara that the main power of Tachnun can be achieved only if it's directly after Shemoneh Esrei, because as we said, it's an extension of Shemoneh Esrei. And the Gemara tells us the story of Ima Shalom, who was the wife of Reb Loza ben Horkinus and the sister of Rebbe Gamliel. And the Chachamim and Rebbe Eliezer had a machlokas, and we know the rule is, when there's a Yachid v'Rabim, a single versus the plural, we follow the Rabim. And Rebbe Eliezer wouldn't give in, and he brought different miracles to show that he was correct. But the Rabbanon, feeling that there was a danger, because again, they felt the halacha was like them, even though Rebbe Eliezer had different proofs, they put him in Cheirim. And from that time of that incident onwards, so Ima Shalom never let Rebbe Eliezer fall in the Filos Apayim immediately following his Shmona Esrei. And the reason was is because she feared that her husband might pour out his grief and his feeling of injury in that tefillah, and that Hashem would punish Rebbe Gamliel, her brother. And one day, and the Gemara has two different girsos, some say she thought it was Rosh Chodesh, she miscalculated whether the month that month was a 29 or a 30 day, and she thought it was a month of 30. And some say that there was a poor man that had come, and she was still dealing with him. And when she came back, she found that he had fallen on his face. He had done the Filos Apayim. And she said to him, she said, "Get up, you have killed my brother." And in the meantime, an announcement was then made that Rebbe Gamliel had actually died that morning. And he asked her, "How is it possible? How did you know that?" And she replied that, "I have this tradition from my father's home that all gates are locked except for the gates of wounded feelings." And the Sfaradim then, they continue and they say, Kapitel Chof Hei, L'David Eilech Hashem Navshi Esa, Es Tachnun. And this is based on the Zohar, who tells us the great power of this Kapitel. But he also warns about the great dangers that could result. And the Zohar says that there are certain Averos that one cannot get Kapara for, one cannot atone for, until the sinner dies. However, if a person expresses a true willingness to give up his life and leave this world, then Hashem forgives him for that sin. And he says, "Praise be the person who knows how to placate his master with such concentrated thought. But woe unto a person who states such a willingness, but does not really feel it in his heart." And the Tzitzas Chaim writes that when reciting this first pasuk, one should consider himself dead and make a clear decision to give up his life to Hashem. And then one can even atone for an avera of Chil Hashem. However, despite this great power and opportunity in saying this kapitel, due to the fact, as we said, that it can be very dangerous, Ashkenazim do not recite it. We say Vuhu Rachum, and the Ramad writes that the minig is to say Vuhu Rachum every Monday and Thursday, because on these days our tefillos are accepted in Shemayim more readily. And the Mishnah Berurah explains that when Moshe went up to Shemayim, it was a Thursday, he went for 40 days prior to receiving the second set of Luchos, and he descended on a Monday. And Tosfos writes that when Moshe descended with the second set of Luchos, Hashem forgave Klal Yisrael for the Avera of the Egel Hazov. And therefore, on the days that Moshe ascended and descended, They became designated a days of atonement and forgiveness for all generations. And the Avudrahum quotes the Medrash that expounds on the pasuk that says, Dirshu Hashem bihi matzo. And we should read it, Beis Hei Matzo, that one who seeks out Hashem on a Monday and a Thursday will then find him. And the Kolbo tells us Monday and Thursdays are the days that Bezdin would sit in judgment, just as the Bezdin Shalmala does. And therefore, all of Klal Yisrael is davening for mercy on these days. And the Mechaber tells us that it should be recited in a loud voice. The Rama, however, disagrees and says it should be recited quietly. And the Mishnah Berurah explains that the Rama compares V'hurachim to Shmona Esrei, while the Mechaber recommends reciting it aloud to aid in maintaining the proper kavana. And the Mishnah Berurah says, certainly, whichever tzad you follow, once you recite it slowly with kavana and not rush through it. The Mechaber writes that the Gaonim decreed it must be said standing, and that one who does not is called a Poritz Geder. And the Mishnah Berurah tells us that the wording of V'hurachim was composed through an amazing miracle. And it seems there are different versions of this from the Kolbo. I'll tell over the one that I saw brought down. There was a boat full of Jews, of Yidden, that were exiled from Yerushalayim, and had arrived in a city ruled by a certain prince. And he asked them, "From what nation are you?" And they said, we're Jews. And he responded, "If so, I'm going to give you the same test that was given to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. I'm going to put you in a furnace." And they requested 30 days. And they fasted each day, and each morning they would share with each other what they had dreamt the night before. On the last morning, one of the elders shared that he had dreamt the pasuk, Ki savar b'mayim itcha ani uvenaharos lo yishtefucha, ki selich b'mo'esh lo sichaveh v'lohava lo sivarbach. That when you pass through waters, I am with you. Through rivers, they will not wash you away. When you walk through fire, you will not be singed, and no flame will burn you. A large bonfire was then built, and this elder was sent in. And when he entered the flames, it split into three parts, and three righteous people were seen coming towards this elder. And they began to praise Hashem and recite V'hurachum. The first one said from V'hurachum until Anamelech, the second from Anamelech until Ein Kamocha, and the third from Ein Kamocha until the end. Each of these portions begins and ends with a description of Hashem as Rachum, and therefore, Chazal inserted it into our davening on Monday and Thursday, which are days of judgment. And the Mate Moshe points out that each section has 18 mentions of Hashem's name, corresponding to the 18 brachos of Shmona Esrei. And he says this supports the view of the Rama that therefore V'hurachim should be said quietly, just as we do with Shmona Esrei. We also say Hashem Elokei Yisrael, and the Mate Moshe says that this tefillah was composed by Chizkiyo HaMelech, when Sancheriv surrounded Yerushalayim and was looking to destroy it. Chizkiyo went into the Beis HaMikdash at the second hour of the night and davened this tefillah of Hashem Elokei Yisrael. And this tefillah is composed of 134 words, 132 correspond to the numerical value of Chizkiyo, and the additional two correspond to the fact that he composed it at the second hour of the night. Out of humility, however, Chizkiyo signed his name in the first letter of the stanzas, but however, it was in the incorrect order. As it should have been Chusa, Zarim, Kolenu, then the Hashem, and then Habeit. It was added to the Monday-Thursday Tfilos again, because these were days when Klal Yisrael gathered for Kriyas HaTorah. And we find that whenever Klal Yisrael gathers together for that, Hashem's referred to as Hashem Elokei Yisrael. And the reason we recite it seven times is to appease Hashem's wrath, which manifests itself in seven ways, as we see in the pasuk, V'nolchamti ani itchem b'yanetuya, v'zroya chazaka ba'af uv'chem of ketzav gadol. And they bring the b'yanetuya v'zroya chazaka, represent each one two, which is a total of four, af chem on ketzav gadol, an additional three, make a total of seven. It also counteracts the seven ways that we go against Hashem's will that are mentioned in Parshas Bechukosai, where the Torah says, the first one, Vim lo sishmuli, the second, Vim Bechukosai temasu, the third, Vim es mishpatai tigal nafshichem, the fourth, Vim ad eila lo sishmuli, the fifth, Vim selchi mikeri, the sixth, Vim be'ela lo sivasruli, and the last one being, Vim bezos lo sishmuli. Now we'll go into the actual tefillah that we refer to as Tachnun. And it starts with an introductory pasuk from David HaMelech, when David HaMelech was being punished for counting Klal Yisrael, Hashem had given him three choices of different punishments, and David basically told Nathan HaNavi that I'm going to choose the one who I fall in Hashem's hands, and he chose the famine, which it was going to be 7 years of hunger, but he knew that in Hashem's hands he stood a chance of having it repealed, which it was shortly thereafter, as opposed to being put into the hands of people, because then, you know, it's tougher to have that changed. And the tefillah then starts, Hashem al ba'abacha seichicheini v'chamoscha siyasireini. And Rav Shimshon Pinkus, who basically, everything that I'll basically say on this tefillah comes from him, says the simple pshat here is that we're asking Hashem not to feel his tochacha. We don't want to feel his rebuke, that even though he might have af and kas, he might have anger, still don't give us tochacha, and so too don't give us yisurim. However, David HaMelech isn't asking Hashem to withhold tochacha and yisurim, but he's asking that the tochacha and yisurim should be given without anger. There's a difference between tochacha and yisurim given with anger or without anger. So we ask Hashem to give us this tochacha and yisurim without anger. And certainly as parents, we certainly can relate how we react to our children. When we react through anger, it comes out in one way. When we're just reacting to the situation, it's a very different reaction that our children see. We then continue, Chaneini Hashem ki umlal ani, Rifaini Hashem ki nefalu atzamoi. So we would just finish getting through. We just said we're asking not to get a punishment through the anger of Hashem. Now we're asking the opposite. Chaneini Hashem, give us a matnas chinam, give us a free present, because umlaloni, I am feeble. And Rav Pinkus tells us that this is not a request based on any schus, on any merit, but it's the truth of our situation. We are really feeble. He says this mitzias, the situation is the request. And he compares it, he says, imagine a person has just been injured in a bomb explosion and he's lying on the street. He does not need to ask for help. The situation calls out for help. And when we forget that we are feeble and think that we can take care of ourselves, then Hashem removes himself from the picture and then we remain feeble. V'navshi nefala ma'od v'ata Hashem ad mosai. When it comes to the gashmias, the amount of patience one has to wait is based on the needed amount of time to prepare. When one waits for a meal, his patience is based on the preparation time needed for that meal. But when it comes to Ruchnius, we wait patiently for Hashem's Yeshua and ask Ad Mosai. Our Amunah is that at the end we will see our patience rewarded and that the preparation time was needed for the Geula. And the Ad Mosai is our waiting with Amunah, that in the future this promise will be fulfilled. Shuva Hashem Chalta Navshi Hashienin Laman Chazdecha. One of the foundations of tefillah is that you have to have a taina to receive the merit. Every request needs to have a schus. And the request of chaltza nafshi, of release my soul, is based on leman chazdecha. And we're saying hoshieni, so it will become known the greatness of your chesed in this world. So the etzem request, the request here is that we want to spread the midas chesed in the world. And then we add in the next pasuk, came b'mava zechrecha, that in order to spread Kiddush Hashem in this world, we need Chaltza Nafshi, we need Hoshieni, because dead people can't praise your name. Rav Chaim Volozhin brings the Gemara that speaks about the Tefillah of Chana. And the Pasuk says, V'hi moras nefesh v'atispalal al Hashem. That even though she had great tsar not having children, she removed her tsar and didn't daven for herself, but she davened al Hashem, for the tsar of Hashem. She herself was ready to be mevater on having a child, and be mevater on her own pain. But leman chazdecha, leman shemecha, for that she davened and requested a son. And the same is in Hallel. We say, lolonu Hashem, lolonu, ki l'shimcha ten kavod al chazdecha val mitecha. That lolonu, it's not for us, Hashem, but ki l'shimcha ten kavod. Do it for yourself. And whenever a person finds himself in any tzara, he should be mevater on his own needs and request that it come out okay, and request for what's needed only for the covet of Shemayim. Ki ein ba mavet zichrecha mishol miyod elach. And Shimshon Pinkus tells us that the simple pshat of mavet revolves around the concept of life and death. That once a person is dead and the body doesn't work, the mouth is closed, it cannot remember the name of Hashem. And Sheol then is talking about the grave. However, we know the neshama doesn't need a mouth to praise Hashem. So Rav Pinkus explains that a living thing has the ability to choose right and wrong. And as long as one can make a choice, he's considered living. So David HaMelech says, once one is in the Olam HaNeshamos, he can no longer make choices and can no longer be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. So there is nothing one can do there to add Kiddush Hashem to this world once he is dead or in the grave. So the real praise of Hashem is therefore in this world. And Rav Shimshon Pinkus also tells us that we need to understand the value of life. And he says the Medrash tells us that when Hashem came to take the Neshama Moshe Rabbeinu, and the truth is, if someone has the time, they should look at this Medrash. It's actually a very amazing Medrash. But the Neshama basically told Hashem, I'm not coming. And there was a whole back and forth that went on until finally Hashem forced it to leave. But even when Hashem promised, he said, I'll put you right next to me at the Kisei HaKavod, the Neshama said, I'm not coming. He said, because life in this world is more precious than anything you could give me in the next world. And we need to realize the value of time and not waste it. With each second, one can create Netzach Netzachim, eternity. And Chazal tell us, Holeich Batal Ki Yashin Dami, one who sits and does nothing is like he is sleeping. And we know sleeping is 1/60th of death. So it comes out that one who wastes time is really killing a part of himself. And nowadays, people do not fear death because life no longer has any value. But if we watch children, they do not want to go to sleep like a grown-up, or for that matter, a teenager. The reason is because they have much more of a Havas Chaim. They want to keep going. They want to keep doing. They don't want to miss anything that might happen. While once we settle into life, we sort of lose that. And you know, sleep is a nice thing that we all like to enjoy. And Rav Pinkus tells us, also he says, you know, we spend a lot of time online. And if we think about a thought of a chizuk, a machshav of Hashem, then instead of going to waste that time becomes nitzchias. But if we don't use that time properly, then they become moments of death. And just think, especially out here in California, how much time one spends at any of the amusement parks, Disneyland, SeaWorld, Universal. How many hours go to waste standing there online? But if we would just think about a vart we heard or saw, daven to Hashem for anything we need to, we could turn those moments of death into moments of life for eternity. And the tefillah just ends. I'm just going to run through because it's all that, you know, but just to translate the rest. He says, Yegati banchasi ascha b'cholayla mitasi, that I'm wearied with my sigh, that I drench every night my bed, B'demasi arsi amse, that with my tears I soak my bed, my couch. Ashja mikas eini asko b'chol tzoroi, that dimmed because of anger are my eyes, aged by all my tormentors. Surmi menu kopole oven, depart from me all the doers of evil. And the reason for that was also dealing with Kiddush Hashem, because David HaMelech felt that people came after him because as being the Melech, he represented Hashem. Kishama Hashem kol bichi, because Hashem has heard the sound of his weeping. Shama Hashem techinasi, Hashem has heard my plea. Hashem tefilasi yikach, that Hashem will accept my tefillah. And as we mentioned in the past, the difference between techina and tefillah, techina being more of a plea, saying even if I am undeserving, and therefore we're saying Hashem will hear it no matter what, tefillah has to be more of accepted. And then it ends, yevoshu v'yibalu mi'od, kol oyevai yeshuvu yevoshu roga, that let there be shame and let them be confounded, all of my enemies, and may them regret and be shamed in an instant. And just to close, as we do with a story, and then the homework, and once again, it's an email that I received, which I got actually many weeks back, but had other things each week, so it's a little old as far as the topic, but again, deals with the davening, and it goes back to Parshas Vayishlach. And we know Yaakov Avinu, if you ask any child, what did Yaakov Avinu do? It says he prepared for three things. He prepared with sending a present to Esav. He prepared for battle. And we know that he davened. And the question is which one of these ultimately saved him? And the Torah tells us that we know when Esav saw Yaakov, he ran over and embraced and kissed him. And the Medrash tells us that even though Esav passionately despised his brother, but Oso Shah, at that moment, Nichmar Rachamov, his compassion was aroused, v'noshku b'chol libo, he kissed him with heartfelt feelings. And there was no fight, and the Medrash tells us that the gifts really had no impact on Esav, but it was only Yaakov's tefillah that aroused his compassion and rescued Yaakov. But true, yes, he had to make preparations of preparing for war and sending a gift, but Yaakov understood that the main hishtadlus, the main preparation, was asking Hashem. And as we know that it says in Tehillim, Yichatzcha Hashem Aleinu kasher yichal nulach, that your kindness shall be upon us, Hashem, in accordance with how we yearn for you. And based on how we daven, based on how we turn to Hashem, is how Hashem will ultimately respond back to us. And yes, we do have to make the efforts, but do we end up believing in these efforts, or do we actually understand that it's Hashem who's in charge? And he brings an example. He says, if something goes wrong in business, do we get upset about this? Do we get stressed out about this? Or do we say, it doesn't really matter because Hashem has many other ways of sending me my parnasa? And he decided to give it to me in a different fashion. And the same thing if a person lost his job. Does he become anxious and worried about his future? Or does he say, you know what? It wasn't my job that took care of me. It was Hashem, and Hashem hasn't left me. And we have to realize that whatever we put in and is how the effort will come out. And as we know, the Torah teaches us, again dealing with the Imahos, that the Imahos were infertile. And the only reason they had children was in response to the Tefillah, that they understood that it was Hashem was their only response. And if we believe in that, and the more we value our Tefillah, the more Hashem will show us that it really works. And the homework, obviously, is at some point during the week, especially Monday, Thursday, one of those days, to focus on some of the Tachnun, on some of the Vuhurachim, on some of these Tefillos that were brought in, to realize what we are saying, to think about it, go through it a drop slower and understand what this Tefillah has, the power that this Tefillah has, as we saw from the Gemara with Rebbe Elazar ben Hyrcanus, and use this Tefillah properly, and in that way, be able to do it l'man chazdecha, l'man shemecha, and be able to ask for more kiddush Hashem in this world, and Hashem will then come and value our Tefillah and respond in the positive.